Some of them are a bit dazed. Some of them are angry about what's happened. Others present a more realistic view. We now have something that we know is not that great, and we're going to have to move forward and figure out how to make it better. So the mindsets vary just as every woman varies.
I guess one thing you hear in general with almost every type of cancer is the sense of initial shock that most people feel at first diagnosis. Now, you're seeing them some weeks later, maybe even a couple months later, but do you still sort of see remnants of that?
Yeah, the shock for many women has worn off until we shock them again. Because unfortunately, many of the surgeons don't really prepare the patient for their trip to the medical oncologist. And so consequently, yes, they went through the initial shock of finding out that they have cancer. And then when they come to the medical oncologist, they now get a double whammy because many of them have been told, well, I think you can get by with a hormone pill and you need some radiation because you had a lumpectomy. Everything's going to be fine. And then, bam, they get hit with, well, I think that probably chemotherapy might be on the horizon for you. And some women decompensate pretty badly because the second most frightening word to most women after the word cancer is chemotherapy. And so if they haven't been prepared before they come to the medical oncologist, then it can be a second devastating experience for them.
How do you explain to women sort of the concept of what adjuvant systemic therapy is?
When I talk about adjuvant therapy, I tell them basically that cancer is a disease that can involve other organs of the body, and that even though the surgeon says that they got it all, there can be microscopic seeds of tumor that are already present in other parts of the body. I use the analogy, I say that basically in order to detect a cancer, there's got to be about a billion tumor cells in one spot, and you can put that on the end of your fingernail. And I think at that juncture, they understand that they could have 100,000 tumor cells sitting in a bone someplace or a lung, and none of our tests are going to detect that. And then I go on basically to say that whatever therapies we do are likely to benefit only a few patients, and we've got to treat 100 patients because we don't know who the unlucky, let's say 15% are, and the lucky 85%. And that's sort of the way I would start a conversation of adjuvant therapy.
I'm sure some women must say, or a lot of women might say, why can't we wait and see whether or not there really is a problem and treat at that point?
Yes, many women do ask that question, and that's a triple whammy, because then you've got to tell the patient that even if we're discussing chemotherapy now, that the same chemotherapy that we're talking about increasing the likelihood of cure, that same chemotherapy used when the cancer has come back in some other area of the body will not cure.
Why is that?
I think it's a matter of tumor mass, tumor bulk, that we're dealing with microscopic disease, and it's more likely to eliminate the last tumor cell or at least bring it down to a manageable level where the body's own host immune response can mop up the rest, perhaps. In metastatic disease, the tumor burden is higher, and that's why essentially we tell patients that we really can't cure metastatic disease. We know that there's a series from MD Anderson Cancer Center where 2.5% of patients are disease-free at 15 years after the diagnosis of metastases, but 2.5% is pretty low.